We're beginning here on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph at the two dots. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Acheret Matkinino. So Rabbi Yehuda says, not only do they prepare a backup Kohen Gadol, they also prepare a backup wife. So now, Rabbanon Nami HaChayish L'Shema. Why don't the Rabbanon worry about this possibility that his wife might pass away? He doesn't qualify as the Kohen Gadol anymore because he doesn't have Beito. So Amar L'cha Rabbanon Tuma Shchicha, Mita Lo Shchicha. There's a difference between these two probabilities. The probability that the Kohen Gadol will become Tamei is a high likelihood. Probability that his wife will pass away is a very low likelihood. So they deal with the issue that is of high probability, the fact that he might be Tamei coming into Yom HaKippurim, whereas they don't deal with the probability of the Mita, which is very unlikely, far-fetched, and so forth. Therefore, they don't deal with it at all. So Amar Lo, Im Kein, Ein La Davar Sof. So the Chachamim say back to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're already going to go and deal with bringing an extra wife in here, given how low the probabilities are, then you probably should prepare a number of wives, because the whole thing is either a chumrah, and therefore why is there a difference between one or two? Or, if you think it's a probability issue, the probabilities are so low that it makes no difference between one of them dying and two of them dying, the probabilities aren't that far off. So why don't you have two wives there? So Rabbi Yehuda, Shapri Ka'amri Le'i the Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim have a good question, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lecha, the Mita Dachado Chayshinan, the Mita Dachayte Lo Chayshinan. Says, look, I'm willing to worry about one of them dying. Two people dying, that's outlandish. So we're not going to worry about that. So I'm going to worry about the one situation. Rabbanan, Iigal Meichash. They run and say, look, if you're going to worry about it, Afilu Mita the Train Chayshinan, you got to worry about two. And if you're not going to worry, then don't worry about it at all. Again, the probabilities are so low, or this issue shouldn't be dealt with at all. And therefore, if you're going to already start worrying about it, you may as well full-fledged worry about it, about two people dying, not just one. Rabbanon Nemru Inhu Denafshahu. Why don't the Rabbanon ask this question on themselves? Because the Rabbanon here, there are two issues. One is the issue of Tumah. The other issue is Mita. With regards to Mita, they say, we don't worry about it. And they say to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to worry about it, you got to worry about a whole chain of women passing away. On the other hand, why don't they say the same thing about Tumah? For themselves, why don't we say, just like they worry about the Kohen Gadol becoming Tamei, and they say that's likely or probable, then why don't we say that the backup could also become Tamei and have a problem? Why don't we set up the same thing like Rabbi Yehuda? The question they're asking Rabbi Yehuda, the Garbei Mita, they should ask on themselves the Gabei Tuma. They should have multiple backups. Correct. And the probability there is much higher. So you should probably have a second backup then. Samir the Kharabanan, Kohen Gadol Zarizhu. Kohen Gadol Zariz. I Zarizhu, Lama Matkinin Kohen Acher. If he's such a big Zariz, why are we bringing even any backup here? Because you're relying on his ability to avoid Tuma. If he's a Zariz and he can avoid the Tuma, then why are we bringing a backup? The Gemara says, "Enochanami, you don't need a backup." But Kaven, Davdinin Leitzara, Koshkein to Mizdaris Tvei. It's a psychological thing. If you give him a backup, he's even more careful. The fact that he knows someone else could step in and take over in his position makes him all that more fastidious, careful about Tuma. Now, one of these is a control. Remember, Tuma is within his control, and therefore we say that he could control it, or to a point he can control it. And therefore we say Zariz. By Mita, there's no control. So over there, you can't say Zariz. Zariz has no impact in terms of Mita. And that's why the Chachamim differentiate or distinguish between Tuma and Mita. If you're going to worry about Tuma, we can limit it. We can limit it really to the Kohen Gadol himself. We bring in a backup just to ensure that he's extra careful and that he's not lax in any way, because he knows there's someone who'll back him up. On the other hand, when it comes to Mita, since it's not his control, if you're already going to worry about one Mita, start worrying about multiple Mitot, because nobody has control over here. It's all in the hands of Hashem. If you're going to start to worry about the woman passing away, start worrying about two women passing away. And that's the distinction that the Chachamim draw. So now, Umi Sagile Bitakanto. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute. We have to deal with this extra wife here. Is it enough that you just bring in a woman who's going to be the backup? You know, with the other Kohen Gadol, or the backup Kohen Gadol, it's enough that you bring him in. We had earlier in the Masechta the question of sequestering him, and that's where Rish Lakish proved that it can't be, that it's a din d'oraita from Miluim, otherwise you would require a sequester for the second Kohen Gadol. So then, is it enough just to set up a wife here? Because if you want to have the wife function as a wife, she's got to be a wife. So what does it mean that you set aside a woman? You set aside a backup Kohen Gadol, but you just can't set aside a wife. A woman's got to be married to him in order to qualify as a wife. So Beito Amar Rachmana. The Torah says Beito, that's why he needs a wife. And she's not married to him. So Demikadishlo, He has kiddushin with her. He does get married to her. He has a rusin. He gets engaged to her, the equivalent of the halachic engagement to the woman. Gemara says, wait a minute. Kiddushin is not sufficient. Unless he has nisuin as well, then it's not called beito. Beito is a full-fledged wife. Not just a wife that he's engaged to, has kiddushin with, a rusin with. He needs full-fledged nisuim in order to be beito. The kanisla. Okay. So he marries her in a full-fledged marriage with this woman. Imgein, havalei, shnei batim. Now he has two wives. Rachman amar, v'chiper bado, uba'ad beito. Beito in the singular, he can only have one wife. Below ba'ad shnei batim. And not with two wives. So now we're faced with a problem. This problem is going to now lead us through an interesting process, a process that doesn't make so much sense until they get to a conclusion. But the question is posed, then the Gemara asks about it, and then there's going to be an answer given. The answer given is on the latter half of today's daf. Between here and the answer, the Gemara goes through numerous permutations of trying to give an answer. Rashi and Tosafot both say here that the sequence of the Gemara is not the answer of the question. The question was asked, the answer came up with the answer right away. The Bala Shas, as they call him, decided to work through the logic of how he got to that answer. He could have just jumped to the answer, but then you wouldn't know why they used this strange answer in the end. So in order to work you through that, they go through numerous permutations to show you that it doesn't work this way, it doesn't work that way, it doesn't work this way. And by doing that, they slowly build to the answer. So it's a methodological way to show you how the answer got to the answer. So we're going to say things, even though many times they're illogical or it's clear that there's a problem with it, he's doing it to show you why he had to go in this direction.
One of the answers, we don't want to see him really shot there. He doesn't marry her until her first wife dies.
Can't, because it's on Yom Kippur.
It's on Yom Kippur itself.
You can't marry on Yom Kippur. And obviously, you can't do Nisuin on Yom Kippur. I mean, the Isser Kiddushin is only Din Darabonon, but the Isser Nisuin is a Din Doraito. With the Isser Kiddushin, he can be Mekadish her on Yom Kippur, technically, if the Chamin waived that Shvut. But in the case of Nisuin, that's also Midoraito on Yom Kippur. It's one of the Inuim, so then you can't do Nisuin on Yom Kippur. Alright, so then the Gemara says, Tahadar Megarishla. So he divorces her. The Gemara says, Imigarishla, if he divorces her, Hadra Kushtin Leduchta. You're back to square one. If you married her and then you divorced her, what have you done? You don't have another wife. It doesn't do anything for you. So Lo Tzricha, De Megarishla, Al Tanai. So no, that's not the case. The case is, he do Megarish her, Al Tanai, Damarla. Harizeg Giteich, Almanat Shitamuti. This is your get if you die. Proposal here is that we're worried about him having two wives in Yom Kippur. So if this woman dies, the extra wife dies, then he had two wives during the process on Yom Kippur. So the first attempt is, okay, if it says here, if you die, then we are divorced. So Gemara says, V'duma lo maito, maybe she won't die. V'avalei shnei batim, and then have two wives because she doesn't die. Ella da amarla, and this is what Tosafot points out all the way along here, is all of these answers are begin with ella de. Ella de, ella de, which says, okay, but maybe you could say this. The final answer does not have the dalet there. That's how he knows that that belongs to the answer of the question. Everything else belongs to the Bala Shas trying to move through this. Just by the first proposal, you could see that how could you even think that that would be a solution that, oh, if you die, you'll be divorced. That barely solves the problem. It's so obvious that it doesn't solve the problem, but he's working through it. So all of these are going to be not such strong answers, but ways to maneuver. So, Elo Damarla, Harizagidech, Amanat Shalotamuti. This is your get if you don't die. So now, if she doesn't die, she's divorced. If she dies, she's not there. She's not a wife. So the backup wife will be there. So, Ilo Mita, if she doesn't die, Migarshalot, he'll be divorced from her. Vimita, and if she does die, Hakaimahoch. He has his original wife that's there. But the problem is, when it says, Vidilma hi lo mita, maybe she won't die. The Avi the Gita the High Gita, and then her get will go through because that's what he said. If you don't die, it'll be a get. Umaita chaverta, and then his first wife will die or pass away. Bekamle below bayit, and I'll have no one. So that's not a good solution. Ella damarla amanat shetamut achat mikem. If one of you dies, then this is a divorce. This is a get. So mitaha, if this one dies, I mean if the first wife dies, kaimach. The second wife is there. Mita hach. If the other one dies, she's still here. So Gemara says, V'dilma lo maita v'lo chada minayu. What happens if neither of them pass away? V'avilei shnei batim. And now he's stuck with two wives. Now this is where Tosafot and Rashi point out, you could have just asked the easier question, which is, well, it says here that she's going to be divorced if either one of them dies. So what happens if the first wife dies and she's divorced? So he doesn't have either wives either. So you see that on all of these cases, you could ask other questions. Gemara is just trying to work through it. Vote ki ay gavna mi abigita, and forget about this whole thing. Does this even work? This type of conditional get, does it work? Why? Va'omarovo gemara gitin. That if this is your get, as long as you don't drink wine, entirety of my life and entirety of your life, or the entirety of my life or the entirety of your life, whatever, however he expresses it, in zekritut, that doesn't work. If he connects it to someone else's life, that is a kritut. So there's a requirement when one gets divorced that it be a get kritut. Kritut means that there's a severing of the entire relationship. There cannot be any residual relationship between the husband and the wife. It has to be a clean break between them. If there's anything that ties them together, then it's not a get kritut. So the Gemara in Gittin discusses different cases like that, where there is a residual relationship, and therefore it doesn't work. One of the problems here is, because there's a definitive thing that makes them divorce from the retroactively. When it happens, it's that. But here the problem is that she will never be divorced. As long as she's alive, she can't get divorced. That's really the case. Tosfot discusses here that the Gemara in Gittin concludes that it only has to be if it's connected to her life, not to his life. Because then she can never have the get take effect during her lifetime. The get will only be effective after she dies. That means that she's never severed the relationship with him. So that's the problem here. The problem here is that the gritut will only take place after she's basically died. And it'll happen retroactively. But that's not a kritut, because that means as long as she's alive, we'll never know that the divorce went through, because there's still a possibility she could drink wine, and the get won't go through. And that's not a kritut. The Gemara over there says, if he does connect it to his life, or anybody else's life, then it might be a kritut, because there is a possibility then in her lifetime that she could have the get, and there could be a severing of the relationship completely. So that's why it works when it's dependent on someone else. It doesn't work when it's really dependent on the wife's life. He says, all right, Amrullah, so he changes, he amends it and says, okay, Amrullah is a tech, amanach lo tamut chavertech. This is your get if your friend doesn't pass away. If the first wife doesn't pass away, then you're divorced. So now, ilomita chaverta, if the first wife doesn't pass away, migarsho, then she's divorced. Vimita ha, and if she does die, hakaimaha, then she's still around. Vidilma maita chaverta bapago da avoda. So this would have been a great solution, except for, what happens if she dies, the first wife dies, in the middle of the avoda? Veigle milta la mafreya. So then it works out retroactively that the gita daha lav gitahu, that this woman's get was not effective. And vavile avoda bishnei batim. So then until the moment of death of the first wife, they had two wives until that point in time. Because the get was conditioned on the first wife passing away. She does pass away. The get's not effective. But by the time she passes away, it's already halfway through the day. And that means that now we know the get didn't take effect. And he was married to the second woman all the way along. But he also had the first wife for the first half of the day. So he has two batim for the first half of the day. So that can't work. Elo damar law. Now Tosafot says that this is on top of what was said before. Here it sounds like it's a separate statement. Tosafot says it's building on what was said before. This is your get on the condition that the first wife passes away. Tosafot says it's built together, which is near the phrase, Damar la nami ha, v'koya amai desolik mine, Damar amanach lo tamut chavertech. So Tosafot says, he actually says these two lishonot to the woman. Number one is, hare zegitech, amanach lo tamut chavertech. Number one, this is your get. If the other woman, the first wife, stays alive, then number two, this is your get. V'amar la, and he says to her also, amanach tamut chavertech v'pagla da'avoda. If the woman passes away halfway through the avodah, this is also your get. And then the Gemara says, "V'dilma ma'ita chaverta." Maybe this woman will pass away. V'havale gita d'ha gita, and then this will be an effective gate. V'kamle v'lo bayit, and he won't have anybody that he is married to. Rashi explains it as being one statement. Tosfot is saying that it's built on the other one to say that there's some incremental information that we're getting here to address the issue of dying halfway through the day. To simply say that he changes the lashon and says, "This is your get." Amanach tamut chavertech. If your co-party, co-wife passes away, why does that help the situation? Yeah, it helps you out in the case where she passes away halfway through the day, but it doesn't help you in a normal situation. So that's why Tosafot says it's built in a sequential basis where he says both lishonot to her. In the end, it still causes a problem. We have to move on to the next option. Ella de Megaris Lulu Tarvayu. He divorces both of them. The Chada Amar Lo, for one of them he says, Arizegitech, Amanat, Shlotamut, Chavertech. This is your get on the condition that your friend doesn't pass away. Ulechada Amar Lo, Arizegitech, Amanat, Shlotinkan, Tzi, the Beit HaKneset. This is your get on condition that you don't go into the shul. Now what he's done is, He's given one get that is out of his control, out of their control, which is that depends on the woman passing away. So the second one, he says, look, you're divorced. If the first wife doesn't pass away, you are divorced. Then, first wife, he says to her, listen, this is your get on condition you don't enter into the Beit Knesset. So that way they can make the get effective if they need to. So in the scenario before, what we're trying to avoid is where the woman's going to pass away halfway through the day. So he can pass away after the day, now he's stuck with two wives for the first half of the day. So how do we undo that? With the first woman, he says, look, your get's effective if you don't enter into the shul. You can prevent the divorce from happening by entering into the Beit Knesset. She can make it effective by staying here. So if she stays at home, the first wife, and then passes away, she never entered into the Beit Knesset, and now she has a divorce. So what they were trying to solve is the fact that halfway through the day, the first woman passes away. So now, halfway through the day, the first woman passes away, then her get was effective because she never entered into the shul. The second woman is okay now because the first one passed away. So if she passed away, there's no get, effective get, and now he only has one wife. Gemara says, wait, now there's a problem. Why? Because there's a possibility that Dilma lo maita chaverta, woman doesn't pass away, velo ailohi the Beit Knesset, and she doesn't go into the Beit Knesset. So now, if she doesn't go into the Beit Knesset, her get's effective. And if she's still alive, then the other woman's get is effective. Now you're stuck with both of them divorced. And you have nobody there. So now, the Gemara says, now here's the solution. This is the answer to the problem. How does Tosfot know? Because here it says, Ela lechada. It doesn't say duh anymore. All the other proposals along the way said Ela de or Dilma, maybe. Here, it gives you a definitive answer. This is the answer that the questioner had right away. The Baal HaShas just went through all of these permutations to get us to the point where we could understand why this is the solution. If we just jumped to the solution, we'd say, why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? Here, the Baal HaShas walked you through it a little bit to show you why you needed to come to this conclusion, which is, the same way we're doing it all along. To the second wife, he says, this is your get if the first woman doesn't pass away. So if she doesn't pass away, the first woman's still there, the first wife's still there, the second wife is gone because the get goes through. To the first wife, he says, I go into the Beit Knesset. If I go into the Beit Knesset, then your get is effective. So now it's within the control of the Kohen Gadol. So here you don't have this problem, Shema, that she won't go into the Beit Knesset, and then the divorce will be effective because here it's dependent on the Kohen Gadol. So all the Kohen Gadol has to do is go into the Beit Knesset, and the get will be Chal. So as long as he doesn't go into the Beit Knesset, then we're fine. If he doesn't go into the Beit Knesset, the first wife's alive, the second wife is divorced. The second wife, if something happens to her for whatever reason, then the first wife is still around, and the Kohen Gadol doesn't go into the Beit Knesset, and there's no get here. Only reason to go to the Beit Knesset is an instance where the first wife is dying, and she's alive for the first half of the day. So in that case, halfway through the day she passes away, that means that the second wife is still around because her get does not go effective, because her get was conditioned on the first woman being alive, now she passed away, so the get is not effective. Now, what about the first woman? The first woman was still there for the first half of the day because she was alive for the first half of the day, only passed away in the second half of the day. That means they have two wives for the first half of the day. So what does the Kohen Gadol do? He goes into the Beit Knesset and causes her get to go effective. So now her get's effective, the first woman is divorced, and that's how he prevents the problem. So that's what Gemara says. The imaitaha kaimaha. If one of them passes away, the other one's around. Mitaha kamaha. And if the other one dies, this one's around. And what happens if she passes away halfway through the day? Then retroactively, he's had two wives for the morning. If he sees that the first wife is going to pass away, he'll jump the gun and go into the shul. And make her get effective for the morning. So there, by the way, there is risk here, which the Gemara does not discuss, is if she dies suddenly, you do have a problem. The other problem is if he misassesses the situation. He sees the first wife is about to pass away, and he runs into the Beit Knesset to have a divorce. And then she doesn't pass away. Now he has a problem, because then the second woman's get goes effective, because the first wife is still alive, but the first wife's not there anymore, because he made it effective. So there is a risk that he misjudges the situation, or misassesses the situation, and he could have a problem of not having a wife in either case. Or like David says, if he doesn't have the opportunity to go into the Beit Knesset in a case where he dies or passes away suddenly. So those are the cases where it won't work, but you covered most situations in this way. And so that's what the Gemara concludes. That's the way to solve the problem here. If she dies suddenly in the middle of the day, and he never went into the Beit Knesset, then he has a problem, because the first woman is not divorced, the second woman is not divorced, and the first one was alive for the first half of the day. He had two wives for the first half of the day.
He dies suddenly, he has nobody.
But you're right. That's a third possibility of having a problem, is if he goes into Beit Knesset, divorces her, and then the second woman dies suddenly, then you also have a problem. The likelihood of that is much lower. The Gemara thinks here it's covered the majority of scenarios, and that he won't have a problem. He will have a wife for sure on Yom HaKippurim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there is a poor Medelach here who ends up marrying this Kohen Gadol and getting divorced from him just for Yom HaKippurim and leaves her as a divorcee where she can't marry any other Kohen Hedyot. And it thinks she has the same scenario and needs a new woman because a Kohen Gadol can only marry a Betula. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is not the most prestigious job to get, to be the second wife of the Kohen Gadol, because you end up getting divorced him afterwards and also removing your possibility of being married to a Kohen now because you become a divorcee.
Same problem. Backup Gadol. He has no job.
Correct. The backup, the Kohen Gadol, has post Yom HaKippurim, might not have any job. That's only if he filled in. Remember, that was on yesterday's daf. He only gains that status if he actually stepped in for the Kohen Gadol. If he doesn't step in for the Kohen Gadol, then the backup is okay. Then he retains his status as a Kohen Hedyot. So you're right. If he did actually function as the Kohen Gadol, then he runs into the problem. But if he didn't, then being the backup is not so bad because you remain the backup and you remain a Kohen Hedyot until you've stepped in to be the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara now takes this outside of the world of Yom Kippur and says, okay, wait a minute. If you're going to say that this is the definition of Beito, then we have a problem in the world of Yibum, which is Shtei Yivamot Habaot Min Bayit Echad. If you have two women who come from one Bayit, you have two brothers, a brother passes away and does not have children. He has two wives. So then, lo yityamu. Then, there shouldn't be any yibum. Because there, the requirement is that he'll take up a bayit for his brother. So that should imply that it's only one bayit. One bayit means that he can only have one wife. If he has two wives, then he has batim and not a bayit. So then, how is his brother coming to be making bayit for his brother if he has batim, plurality of wives? So when it says, Yivamto, Yivamto, Riba, there's a Riba in the Pasuk that says that we're not governed or limited by the word Beito. So because of that, we waive or we don't have this problem of Beito there. Matkifla Ravina, Vitem Rav Shravya, Elmiata, Russo lo Titiabim. This again has to do with Yivama, that if the woman was only had Kiddushin with the brother, and then he passed away, now the brother has to perform Yibum with the woman that he only had Kiddushin with or Erusin with, which is true, he has to perform Yibum with her. If that's the case, we just said before, you're not considered to be Beito unless you had Nisuin. Kiddushin wasn't sufficient to be Beito. So again, why is he performing Yibum here with a woman his brother only had Erusin with? Where it says, Achutza l'rabot et arusa. So lo tiei eshet hamet achutza. She shouldn't be to an outsider. Achutza comes to teach you, even if she is arusa, that's enough to classify her that she has to stay in and not go out. And so there's a reboy. So Gemara says, Eino Hanami, the definition of Beito is number one, singular. And number two means nisuin. So by Yivama, that should present the problem, which is that anybody with two wives, the brother should not have to perform Yibum. And number two is, anybody who only has kiddushinary sin, the brother should not have to perform Yibum. The Gemara answers in both those cases, you're right about Beito, but I have a specific riboy by Yibum that says, Yivamto, Yivamto, to teach you that even multiple wives, there is Yibum. And number two is, I have a chutzah to teach you, even by Yerusin, there is Yibum. So Gemara says, the definition of Beito, you're right about, but Yibum has special ribuim that tell you that if we include other scenarios that are not just about the singular wife that has nisuin. The way Yibum is performed is that he has to take one bayit for his brother. So if there are two wives, he has to pick one of the wives to do the Yibum with. The other one goes free then as soon as he does Yibum with one of them. Until he does Yibum, they're both on the hook, meaning that they're connected to him. Then he has to deal with both of them. As soon as he takes one or does chalitza with one of them, the other one is automatically released. So over here, the question is not about the fact that he's going to perform Yibum with multiple women. It's for sure he's only performing Yibum with one of those wives. The question is that the whole structure is built around building a bayit. And a beito, which is in the singular form, that should mean that the original brother should only be able to have one wife in order for Yibum, the whole process of Yibum, to go through. The fact that he has two wives already should preclude the whole process of Yibum from happening because of this term beito or bayit. So the answer is no, because we have ribuim that say that even if he has two wives, he'll marry one of them. even if only as erusin, you can still perform yibum with that woman. Right now, the Gemara continues. Tan Rabbanan, Rebbeita. Kohen Gadol, Makriv Onein, Ve'eno Ochel. The Kohen Gadol can still perform a voda, even when he is an Onein, although he may not eat from the Kodashim. In terms of performing a voda as an Onein, that is because the Pasuk says about the Kohen Gadol, Laviv Ulimo Lo Yitama, Umin Amigdash Lo Yitze. So even for his parents, which would be the closest of kin that someone could be an Onein for, parents, he still doesn't become Tameh. He's not Tameh himself for them. And he doesn't leave the Mikdash. Well, why doesn't he leave the Mikdash? That means that he can perform Avodah. So the Kohen Gadol performs Avodah, even though he's an Onein. That's not true by Kohen Hedjot. Kohen Hedjot, who's an Onein and performs Avodah, his Avodah is Psula. Because for a Kohen Hedjot, he has to be Mitameh to the seven close relatives. The seven that you are Mitabel Aleihem. He has to, according to Rambam, we force him to become Tameh. Not only do we say that he can become Tameh, we force him to become Tameh, to tell him, look, this is your job right now. You need to deal with this mate to show what's the focus right now. Not his avoda, but rather the relative. So a Kohen Hedjot cannot perform avoda. If he does perform avoda, it's mechulal. It doesn't work. On the other hand, by a Kohen Gadol, it's just the opposite. He does perform avoda, and if he performs avoda, it's totally fine. What he can't do is eat from Kodashim. That's because in Vidui Maser, in Parshat Kitavo, it says, Lo achalti ba'oni mimeno. By Maser, it says that I did not eat from it while I was an Onein. The Gemara then brings a Kal v'chomer and says, if by Maser a Kal, an Onein cannot participate, certainly by Kodoshim, then an Onein cannot eat or participate in them. So that's why the Gemara says that he cannot eat the Kodoshim, because technically he is an Onein. Even though it does not preclude him from Avoda, it does preclude him from eating the Kodoshim. So Rabbi Yehuda just says something cryptic, which is all day. My Kolayom. So Gemara wants to know, what is that a cryptic statement of Kolayom? So I'm a Rava, lo nitzrucha lalavio mitoch beito. It sounds like from Rava that we force him to come to the Beit HaMikdash, we take him out of his house. Now Rashi says over here, lavio mitoch beito, mitzvahu shivio the Mikdash, lavod kol yom, kadei lefakeach tse'aro. We force him to come work in the Mikdash, so that he'll forget his sorrows. He's upset about his relative passing away, so we bring him to the Mikdash to work all day in order to take his mind off of the death. So we had this, and the Gemara in Brachot talks about this idea that they drank wine at the Beit HaAvel to forget the sorrow, to ease the pain. And then they stopped it because of the problem of people getting drunk and becoming inappropriate in the situation of Ayilut. We see this idea of being a Fakeach Tzarot, ease the pain. So Rashi says, this is for the Kohen Gadol, this is the easing of the pain. He goes to work, so he is preoccupied, and he won't think about the pain of the death. I would have expressed it otherwise. The reason that the Kohen Gadol cannot become Tameh to his relatives is because he's in service of the Tzibur. He belongs to the Tzibur. His life is not a private life anymore. It's not that he has the ability to go and do as he pleases. He is subjugated to the Tzibur, and he must function for the Tzibur. He doesn't get a day off. He doesn't get the chance to deal with his personal relatives. I would have suggested that the Kohen Gadol, we force him out of his house to go to the Mikdash to show that he is in service of the Tzibur and not dealing with his personal issues. I mean, that he has to go do Avodah because that's his job. The reason he doesn't betameh to his relatives, the reason that he doesn't become an Onein and Bimchalal is Avodah is because he's in service of the Tzibur. So Rabbi Yehuda suggests is we force him out to do the Avodah to show what his mission is or what his job is. And that's what's preventing him from going to become Tameh or dealing with those relatives. That's how I would have expressed it. A little less about easing the pain, more about showing what his position is and why he doesn't go deal with the relatives, doesn't become Tameh to these relatives, because he is the property of the Tzibur. And he must function as the head of the Tzibur, and he has to go do that despite the fact that there's a death. Damalei Abaye, Hashta the Rabbi Yehuda Afuke Mafkinen Lei. Here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we throw him out. The Tanya, we have a bright. Ayahu Medu Makriva Gaviyam Hizbeach. Rashi says it's talking about a Kohen Hedjot. Tosafot says it's talking about a Kohen Gadol. So we'll go with Rashi first, which is, Ayahu Medu Makriva Gaviyam Hizbeach, Veshamash Meit Lo Meit. We heard that somebody passed away. One of his seven relatives passed away. Meniach Avodato V'yotze. He leaves the Avodah and goes out. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yigmor. Yossi says he can finish whatever he's involved with, and then he'll go and deal with the mate. So Rashi says he's talking about a Kohen Hedjot. And the Kohen Hedjot, since he's involved in the Avodah, we let him finish it off, and then he has to go deal with his mate to become Tameh. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says he stops midway. Whatever he's up to, he's got to stop. So what you see from here is that Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir, legabei, severing the Avodah and stopping the Avodah. Based on that, Rashi says, okay, if he's the machmir over here, then why are we making him into the Mekel by the Kohen Gadol? According to the Chachamim, he can be Makriv Onei, and doesn't eat. Rabbi Yehuda says, he must do Avoda. We throw him out of the house and make him do Avoda. That means you're much more Mekel. Why is Rabbi Yehuda the Mekel position by Kohen Gadol, and the Machmir position by Kohen Hejot? That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosafot reads it as being about a Kohen Gadol. If you do that, then Kohen Gadol, who is Omeidu Makriv, Agam Mizbech, B'shamash Omeid Lo Meit, Meniach Avodato B'Yotzei. He has to leave his avodah and leave. Wait a minute. We just said a Kohen Gadol is Makriv Onein. He's not Mechalo the avodah. So the way Tosafot explains it is that Dindur Abonon. Midur Abanan, they threw him out. They said, okay, even though Midur Raita, you're allowed to do Avodah, Midur Abanan, we send you out of the Mikdash. Yosef Meir Yigmar, finish up whatever he's doing and then he'll go home. What we see from here is that Rehuda is throwing the Kohen Gadol out of the Avodah. So why would he require the Kohen Gadol from his house and do Avodah? If according to this Raita, we're throwing him out of the Mikdash. So that's the way Tosafot reads the problem, is that from one place Rehuda is saying, bring him to the Mikdash, the other one is telling, send him home. So that can't be the position of Rehuda. So Ba'at Amar, it's Maitinin Le Mitoch Beito. Here in the Breita, Rehuda says, we throw him out. Afkuke Mafkinin Le, and then you're telling me that the previous Breita, he tells him to bring him to the Mikdash. Elomarova, my Kolayom, amends what the meaning of Kolayom is. Amar She'inu Oveid Kolayom Gzera Shem Yochal. This is the explanation of why we throw him out Midra Bananis. We don't let him do the avoda that day because he might come to eat from the kodashim. So our fear is that he'll eat from the kodashim because he's an onein. So because of that, we stop him from doing avoda mide rabanan. Even though midoraita is permitted to do avoda, and that's what Rabbi Huda is saying. Stay home. Kol hayom, you stay home and don't do avoda, even though it could do it midoraita because mide rabanan. We said don't come because you might eat from the kodashim. Now this is only true, by the way, during the day. In the day, he's an onein de oraita. So therefore, since he's an onein de oraita, he can do avodah min haTorah, but he may not eat min haTorah. The Chachamim said, don't do the avodah because you might come to eat, according to Rabbi Yehuda. At night, he's an onein derabanan. A ninut laila, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is only a ninut derabanan. And therefore, at night, we allow him to form avodah, because a ninut laila is only derabanan. That means that we're not going to have a gzeira l'gzeira. Because there, if he does avodah at night, he's permitted midoraita, and he's not even an onein. So midoraita, he could eat the kodashim. Ah, why shouldn't he eat the Kodashim at night? That's a din derabonon of onein derabonon. So now you're going to have a double derabonon. You're going to tell him, don't do avodah at night, because you might come to eat the Kodashim at night, which is also a din derabonon. So therefore, we'll let him do avodah at night, because aninu delayla is derabonon. Now, Amar Rav, Adar Bava, the Rav, Umi Gaza Rabbi Yehuda Shem Yochal. Does Rabbi Yehuda really have such a gzeirah? That's none. Rabbi Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Isha Acheret Matkinin Lo, Shema Tamut Ishto. Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, it says you bring him in a backup wife. V'maito ishto ovid avoda. Wait a minute. The whole scenario was built on the fact that his wife might pass away. If his wife passes away, what's his status? Onein. And now, what is he going to do? We have a backup wife so that he can continue to function as the Kohen Gadol. That means that we're going to tell him to do the avoda on Yom Kippur. We don't see Rabbi Yehuda saying, ah, maybe he's going to eat from the Kodashim. How can you compare the cases? This is what you raised before. Which is, Hotam came into Yom HaKippurimu. Says there, that is, it's Yom Kippur, the Kuliyamalo Gachle. What are you afraid he's going to eat the Kodashim? He can't eat. Everybody's fasting. It's Yom Kippur. So what are you afraid if he does a vote as an onin, he's going to come and eat from the Kodashim? Nobody's eating. Forget about Aninut. Nobody's eating, period. It's Yom HaKippurim. So who nami lo ati lemechal? So we're not worried about him when he does a vote as an onin, he's going to come to eat and violate eating as an onin. He has a bigger problem. He has Yom Kippur, chiyuv karet of not eating on Yom Kippur. Hacha, the kuliyama achle. In this case, the scenario here where Rabbi Yehuda is goes there, everybody else is eating. It's a regular day. Hunami, ati the mechal. Then we worry about him doing avoda and eating from the kodashim because everybody around him is eating. V'chi agavna, the Gemara says, michay lele aninut. Wait a minute. Wait, is he really an onein here? Is this question even get off the ground? Because is he an onein when his wife passes away? We said before, if his wife passes away, what does he do? He walks into the shul and divorces her. Or if it's the second wife that passes away, then she has a get on condition. I mean, there's a get here. So is he really an onein over here? Because he sets up the scenario where they're going to get divorced if they pass away on Yom Kippur itself. If they pass away on Yom Kippur itself, then the divorces go effective retroactively so that it won't be a problem. So then he's not married to either woman who passes away. When she passed away, she was already divorced, and he's really not an onein. So Gemara says, "Vamigarsha, she's already divorced." Nehida aninut lo chaylele. Gemara says, "Very interesting. It's true. There is no aninut over here. But a true day milo tarit. He's a human being. Is he not going to be in pain over the loss of this woman? Yes. technically, halakhically, he wasn't married to her because we created this scenario where he's divorced from her. But the truth is, he was just married to this woman. It was his wife. And she passed away, and he's going to have feelings about it. So he's going to be mitrad torid. So you're right that the aninut is not the problem. The problem is that he's mitrad torid, which simulates the effect of aninut. Now this works well for Rashi. Rashi, in the Gemara in Brachot, when talks about aninut, says the main issue of aninut is tirda. Is the problem of being tirda, preoccupied, being enveloped in the pain, the suffering of the mate, and dealing with the mate. And that tirda is what gives the onain the tour from whether it's kriyat shema, whether it's other mitzvot or all mitzvot of Torah. It depends on the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, there in Brachot. But there is a tour granted to onain. According to Rashi, it's all about tirda. It all connects to tirda. Other mefarshim talk about osik mitzvah, patur mitzvah, or other reasons why there's a possibility that the onen is patur. But for Rashi, which is very connected to tirda, this gemara makes a lot of sense here, because the gemara says here that effectively, even when he's not an onen, tirda simulates being an onen. The fact that he is preoccupied with the one who has passed away, he's got feelings, anguish, pain, suffering for the one who passed away, that simulates the effect of aninut. And therefore, we would worry about him as an onen in that case. And as Rashi says, that the achilat kodashim requires that it be done b'simcha u'bigdula. And that's because it says, l'cha nitatim l'mashcha, k'derech shamilachim oklim. That you have to eat it in a way that royalty would eat the korbanot, the kodashim. And that requires simcha, gidula, which he can't bring himself to because of the feelings that he has, because of not being an onain, but because of tirda, which simulates him being an onain. And that's why the question is a fair question, even though he never really technically becomes an onain. Okay, we'll stop over here.